Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you are listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Friday, August 2nd, 2013. We'll be discussing lots of things. We're going to talk about the American dream as it slips away. We're going to talk about the unemployment numbers that came out today, a little bit about Benghazi, and, of course, we're going to be talking about our debt, not our debt, the government's debt, your debt, my debt, Al's debt, everybody's debt, and we're going to be talking about probably gold. So, but first, let's go ahead and get to the market report today. Or should I say hello to Al first today? It's Friday.
I don't know if I'm ready to be said hello.
You don't want to say hello?
Oh, now you gotta wait. Do the market report first, and then you can say hello.
Should I just go away?
Well, you know, no, you go ahead and stick around, but I'm just saying.
Thanks a lot, Al.
We don't want to step out of our format that we've had for many months, and you don't ask, you don't say hello until after you've done the market report. So I'm not prepared to respond. You understand?
Get with it, boy.
All right.
Hey, gold today was down a dollar at $1,309, and what a day gold had! Early morning trading flipped it on when I was up this morning about 4:30, and gold was down $24.25, and we had a low of gold today at $1,282, and a high of $1,319. So big swings in the market today to settle around $1,309 to only down a dollar. So very pleased with gold today, closing in above the $13. Silver was up 20 cents today at $19.93. Platinum was up $4. At $14.50, and palladium was down two at $734. Oh, let's see. USDX today, down 0.43 at $81.94. Crude took a little bit of a hit today, down a buck 10 at $106.80. And, both the Dow and the S&P end the week at record closing highs, and of course that was despite the disappointing job reports. Of course, they were going to end the week on a high note. The Dow was up 30 points at 15,658, NASDAQ up 13 at 36.89, S&P up 2 at 17.09. The 10-year yield, that came back, that was little above 2.7, and we're looking at 2.60 today, down 0.1. For all your gold and silver coin needs, folks, give us a call at Discount Gold and Silver. And if you'd like to send us a question by email, you can do so by sending it to questions@dgscoins.com. Questions@dgscoins.com. And if you have, if you'd like to call us on a topic that we're discussing, you can call us at 1-800-596-8191. That's 1-800-596-8191. Now, Al?
Now would be okay. Man, you got to do these things. You have to have, yeah. There has to be a certain amount of order in the world. You understand?
Yeah.
I guarantee you Obama understands it. The police understand it. We have to have order. Perhaps you have relatives in Washington, D.C.
No. But, oh, before we go on, I do want to talk about, good afternoon, Al. It's good to be talking to you again this afternoon. Today, the U.S. employers added 162,000 jobs in July, and, of course, that was a modest increase and the fewest since March. And we also had the unemployment rate fall to 7.4% from 7.6. So it fell to about a 4.5-year low. But of course, many of those jobs, a lot of the reason that number is down just because it's down to this level also is due to people are just giving up. Yet 37,000 people stopped looking for work and were no longer counted as unemployed. So
does that include Congress?
Yeah.
They're no longer looking for work. They're not passing any legislation. Are they on the unemployed list right now?
Maybe. But employers added a combined 26,000 fewer jobs in May and June than it had previously estimated. And, of course, what's interesting is Americans are now working fewer hours in July, and their average pay dipped. Many of the job employers added last month, of course, we've been talking about this for, you know, at least a few times a week for the past how many weeks, is we're lower paying work at stores, bars, and restaurants. And, of course, these jobs are also part-time. So, again, we're looking at a where's the recovery? Where's the recovery? And, again, lower-paying industries, more than half of the July's jobs came from lower-paying industries, extending a trend that is limiting Americans' incomes and, of course, that will have an impact on consumer spending. Retailers, for an example, added nearly 47,000 jobs. That was the biggest gain for any industry last month. Low-paying industries have accounted for 61% of jobs added this year. And so it's they might be there, but they're low-paying and they're part-time. But what's interesting, one growing source of better-paying jobs now is local governments. They now have added jobs 5 straight months and have helped offset some job cuts by the state and federal governments. So your local governments are growing. And I thought that was kind of interesting.
Well,
I don't know why.
They used government at the state and local level, state in particular, grew dramatically after they started shipping our jobs overseas, knocked our tariffs down, embraced global free trade, started shipping jobs and industries overseas, and the consequences of lost American jobs was in large measure concealed by the fact that government at state and local levels expanded. Instead of actually producing automobiles, we went to regulating people who produced automobiles. It worked for a while, but we're coming on an end. You can't rely on government employment to somehow save the American people, because in the end, the only way you can pay your debts is with something tangible. Somebody's got to make something. All right, we can't live in a world where there are no products being made. You've got to provide something that people want in the free market, and usually something tangible. And if you can do that, yeah, then you can survive. If you're going to provide work as a government employee, guess what? You're not building automobiles. You're not making homes. You're not growing food. What are you doing? Yeah. And the evidence is mounting and clear. We understand it intuitively. I've harped on it a couple of times over the last couple of weeks. Report coming out of the East Coast, a couple of economists point out that if we had the same level of government regulation today as we had in 1949, the median family income would be over $300,000 a year. And instead, we have $53,000. The government is effectively robbing each family of $250,000 a year, if that report is accurate. And I won't say that the numbers are necessarily accurate, but I'll bet the fundamental theme is accurate. We are being impoverished by government. And this is a terrible situation. It's a bad situation. And we're not going to do better until we recognize that and we start producing things again rather than producing bureaucrats. You know, I wanted to say something about the gold price today, Melody. One of the things that interests me is you look at the 24-hour spot gold chart, and you can see that gold started up around 1310 earlier in the morning, and it fell down to 1285 or thereabouts. And then come about 8 a.m. in the morning, New York time, when the market at New York Mercantile opened up, the price jumped up from below 1300 to 1315 thereabouts, 1312, wherever we are now. Point, it was a waterfall event. I'm used to seeing over the past 20 months, I'm used to seeing these waterfall events where the price falls in a straight line. In this case, this is the first one I've noticed and paid attention to. There may have been a lot of others that I didn't pay attention to. In this case, the price of gold jumped in a straight line from $25, $30. Right? Now that's interesting to me. We had a waterfall event going in the opposite direction, and it indicates to me that there are now forces at work that are just saying when gold drops below 1300, it's going up. It suggests the bottom is there. They're not going to buy it. There are forces there that say this is too good a deal to pass up. And anytime gold gets down to 1300, it's coming back up. Well, it's evidence that we've seen the bottom. More evidence.
Well, I'm pleased that it's good that it closed above 1300 today. I thought today it would be a little more volatile with the employment numbers coming out, and I do believe they did put a lot of pressure on gold, knowing that the employment numbers would be bad. And certainly they're not good numbers, and everything reflected. You folks have to remember that, plus you have some other news that came out that would also make gold go up. But, these numbers are so distorted, and gold certainly should have been a lot higher today, and the market should have never rebounded. It should have been down today, but it's on a trend, too. So, you're going to continue, or you might
see. What market are you talking about?
Stock market. Stock market. It's on an upward trend. And, as long as they can keep things together, but there's some serious issues that have to be faced come September. And so I think that'll be the breaking point. So,
for example?
Well, you and I were talking prior to the program about, according to Treasury statements for July 26, the federal debt has been stuck at exactly $16,699,396,000,000.
For over 70 days.
For 70 days.
Right. The debt hasn't increased by a nickel for over 70 days. Now, how can that be? You understand? I mean, this is just so comical. It's so stupid. It's so absurd. On the one hand, you want to wince. You want to laugh. On the other hand, you got to sit back and say, my God, what kind of trouble are we in? Who believes that? My understanding, I've seen a report, and if I remember the number correctly, and I might not, the debt goes up $200 million an hour. And if that's true over the course of the last 70 days, we should have expected to see the national debt that the government reports have increased by $336 billion. I said, oh no, hasn't gone up a nickel in the last 70 days. Well, I think that's great. I think given that the national debt's not increasing, why do we have to pay higher taxes? I mean, in fact, when you sit back and look at it and think about it, if we can keep the national debt from going up just by adjusting the, you know, the debt clock, why don't we make the debt go down? And then we can have, we can all pay lower taxes because we have less debt because the government says so. What do you think, Melody? Can I get elected running on a program that I'm going to change the, I'm going to run the debt clock in reverse? This is like a used car salesman taking the odometer on the old Ford and running it backwards to knock a couple hundred thousand miles off the odometer. It's the same thing, and it is just so obvious. And then, what does it really mean? You sit here and you look at it and say, ha ha, it's funny. Or it's weird, whatever. It's criminal. The government is operating openly, blatantly. They are operating in excess of the debt ceiling. They have a debt ceiling that is a law. You understand? Laws are the sort of thing that the government passes, and they say, Melody, you must obey the law. And Al, you must obey the law. And all you people out in the audience, you must obey the law. But when the government passes a law on the debt ceiling, for example, the government doesn't have to obey the law. The government is above the law. The government is behaving in a criminal manner. They are violating the law, and they think they can get away with it by simply not reporting it. And you wonder, why are we in trouble? Why is this country in trouble? Yeah. Bunch of crooks. It's being run by a bunch of crooks. Bunch of lawbreakers. These are the same people who don't bother to defend our borders against an invasion by illegal aliens. Same people who allow drone strikes to kill people overseas, even Americans, without trial. This whole thing is nuts. Yeah.
Well, we also discussed about what are they doing with all the treasury auctions. What are they doing with all those funds? Because you would think that if you're bringing in money on those auctions, that you would see that number go down, you would think. But what are they doing with all that money, Al?
I don't know. That, you know what's actually happening? We've seen reports that they are selling $85 billion worth of bonds to the Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve is injecting the money allegedly into the economy. But what we've seen is out of $2 trillion that was allegedly injected into the economy, something like $1.8 trillion are being retained by major banks and financial institutions. You know, they say this is to stimulate the economy, but most of that stimulus has not been felt because the big banks are just taking the money and say, good, more money for me. More for me. I need more stimulus. But they're not spending it. They're not lending it. And the economy has not been stimulated to the extent of the debt that's been incurred. What's that mean, Melody?
Well, it means we're in trouble.
It means the taxpayers are going to be left holding the bag. We're not getting any benefit out of this debt, or we're getting very little benefit out of the debt. And the taxpayers, before it's all over, are still going to be expected to pay for the money that's being given to the major banks and financial institutions. We aren't going to get a stronger economy, but they're going to be protected. But we'll be left holding the bag for the debt. I wonder why people are resistant to taxes. I've seen reports that as many as 60 million Americans who have jobs don't even bother to file 1040s at the end of the year. The number's hard to validate, but it's certainly 20 million, and it could be 60 million. It might be more. That's not a new number. But it translates into something like a third of the people in the country who have jobs are not filing income tax returns.
And you know what's interesting, though, too, with the they knew that this was going to be a poor report for the employment numbers. You earlier this week, you had Amazon come out saying that they're hiring thousands of people next year or soon. You had Ford come out today. They thought because they have some healthy sales that they're going to be hiring, you know, another 800 salaried positions, you know, maybe.
800?
800.
Ooh.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
But again, we talk about image building. Well, they haven't yet. It's all part of the image building. And the auto numbers came out, the number of vehicles that were sold. And what I find interesting is that people are actually, there's more people leasing vehicles. So why would they choose leasing over purchasing an automobile?
It's because they don't have enough down payment to steal the car.
They don't have big enough.
See, you got buying, leasing, and stealing.
No, Alex.
Right now, leasing is going up among people who don't have enough courage to steal cars. But I'll bet you car theft is increasing also.
No,
I don't know that to be true. But what I do know is we are into our commercial. All right, you want to make your point before we take our commercials?
Yes, Al.
Okay.
My point is, with leasing, they have lower down payments and lower monthly payments. So to me, that doesn't show that there's a very strong economy out there.
I understand. They just see evidence after evidence, and the only place you see any evidence that the economy is strengthening is with computer graphics from Hollywood. All right, we're going to take a break for some commercial announcements. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Alfred Addis with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
I want to tell the listeners, visit our website, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. It usually comes out Monday, usually late in the day. So make sure you sign up for that. And if you want to listen to any of the old archives of this program, you can do so right from the website. You can even listen to the program live at 4 o'clock Eastern time. So, again, the website, dgscoins.com. We've got some great prices. We have all product. Premiums are beginning to come down a little bit on the Silver Eagles. Silver rounds are available with little to no delay. 1 ounce or 100 ounce JM bars. They're not going to be available for about a month. They're having some furnace.
What's a JM bar?
100 ounce silver bar.
Okay.
Johnson Matthey 100 ounce silver bar. They're holding up production for a little bit. I was told because they're having furnace issues, so they stopped production for about a month. But they'll be back in a month. So. If you're interested in those, give us a call in a month. We have other product, though, available. And basically, they sell for the same thing as one-ounce silver rounds. And I would much rather have a one-ounce silver round than a 100-ounce bar. A little bit easier to split up. Taking chunks out of those 100-ounce bars, splitting up those 100-ounce bars are a little difficult. But they make great weapons. And door stops. Make great door stops.
All right, weapons and door stops. I'm not sure. We don't want to be talking about that. Incidentally, speaking of weapons, you've got to be careful what you say in this world right now. You know, I'm sure the audience understands that. We have to be very cautious about what we say. Had a husband and wife, it was reported in the news yesterday, I don't know if they're on the East Coast or where, he goes up on the internet and he's looking for a backpack. And she goes up on the internet, and she's looking for a pressure cooker. And the government spotted this. They were using Google to find backpacks. He was looking on Google for backpacks, and she was looking on Google for pressure cookers. And next thing they know, within a couple of days, they have half a dozen government agents come into their house, want to know if they're making bombs. Because as you may recall, in the Boston bombing, this was allegedly achieved. The explosives were placed inside pressure cookers that were concealed inside backpacks. And so here, you got a husband, wife, and a couple of kids looking for a backpack and for a pressure cooker. And next thing you know, they got the government coming in at you. Well, as I said, Melody, that's just another reason why we have to learn to be more cautious. Got to be more conscious about what we say. And you can't just say anything you want. Sure, you have freedom of speech, but you're not free to say things like backpacks and pressure cookers in the same sentence, or the alarms go off at Langley, or, whoop, 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 whoop. Somebody just said pressure cookers and backpacks. Same, there'll be probably a flashbang grenade maybe thrown through my window here before the program ends. The government may arrive. Maybe. We may have helicopters coming in on the roof. Or might be going after Frank, the producer. He's producing the program. I'm down in Texas. Melody's in Pennsylvania, and Frank's up in Oregon. It could be Frank is the one who's going to get bombed because they found out somebody said pressure cooker and backpack.
All right, Al. That's you made your point. American Dream is slipping as homeownership is at an 18-year low. The U.S. Homeownership rate, which soared to a record high, 69.2% back in 2004. Is back where it was two decades ago.
Yep. Housing bubble inflated, busted, ripped more than 7 million Americans from their homes. All right, it's just another sign. You have fewer people owning homes. We're down to where we were two decades ago in terms of home ownership. You know, this is not a sign of a recovery. Another point for what it's worth, the headline is American Dream slipping as homeownership at 18-year low. The American Dream is not simply about owning a home. The American Dream from the beginning of this country was the hope and the dream that each generation would enjoy a better life, a longer life, a higher standard of living than the previous generation. The kids would do better than the parents, and the grandkids would do even better. And the generation of grandchildren's kids, they'd do better yet. And for most of our history, the American dream was true, and it worked. But in the last two generations, it's fallen on hard times. And again, why? It's because the government and its damnable regulations are killing this country. Government and its damnable plans to ship jobs overseas and embrace global free trade are killing this country's standard of living. And the idea that when they say the American dream slipping as home ownership goes to an 18-year low, that's part of the American dream, but it's not. Home ownership is not the only thing we've got going on in the American dream. It was much larger, it was much broader, and it worked for most of our history. But thanks to big government, it's not working right now. What else do we have, Melody?
I think you have something about Benghazi.
Well, yeah, the CIA has been, here's from the Atlantic Wire, CIA has been polygraphing operatives to stop Benghazi leaks. That's the headline. And the point behind this, they don't say so in the article. Well, let me just, I think I've only got a little bit. What it comes down to, the CIA is subjecting operatives, CIA agents, working in Libya to polygraphs as much as once a month to stop them from leaking to the press or Congress about Benghazi. Usually, CIA operatives are polygraphed only once every 3 or 4 years. According to CNN, it's being described as pure intimidation with a threat that any unauthorized CIA employee who leaks information could face the end of his or her career. And what this illustrates, an idea we've talked about in the past in the program, but many Americans, private Americans like you and myself, are concerned about being spied on by the government's surveillance operations. A lot of people aren't concerned about it. A lot of people are. However, the article here from the Atlantic Wire about the CIA polygraphing operatives, it illustrates that people who are really paranoid about being spied on by government surveillance are government employees. In the end, there's not much point to spying on me. Yes, I'm a dissident. Yes, I dislike the government. But I don't have any secret knowledge that is potentially dangerous to the government. I have no secret knowledge of facts that the government would like to conceal. I can be kind of a pain in the buns, and I hope, you know, more than that perhaps, but I don't have any secrets. You're not going to find any because I don't have any. However, many government employees, certainly thousands, possibly millions, have access to government secrets. Many of those government secrets are dangerous to government because they reveal to the American people that the government is not here to help us. In fact, many of those secrets, as seen in the cases of Bradley Manning and Edward Snowden, indicate that the government is the principal adversary, even enemy, of the American people. And the government doesn't want those secrets to get out. Therefore, government might not like dissidents like myself, but it fears its own employees. Therefore, government's is most prone to snooping on government personnel. Government employees, in turn, must be the most paranoid about government spying. Government can't count on its employees' loyalty. Therefore, government spies on its own employees. And why? To protect national security? That's what they'll tell you. But it's not. It's to protect government security. And security from who? From the Russians, from the Chinese, from the Ugandans, from the Mexicans? Who are the government protecting these secrets from? It's from you and me. They don't want the people to find out what's really going on in government. It's interesting to me that, again, a lot of people are concerned government is spying on you. A lot of you, those in the audience, you may be concerned about. Hey, if you're working for government, you really need to be concerned. They're more likely to spy on government employees than they are on people like myself. Oh, what else do we have, Melody?
Well, I think the whole point of spying on, I mean, isn't so much spying, it's collection of information. That's, I mean, to me, that's the you know, to where they can, you know, they're able to use that in so many different ways, and all that information is bought and sold and used against us, from little things, from going to the grocery store to what medications we take. I mean, it's going to be very important with Obamacare, how we live our lives, If we have an illness, and if you're a diabetic and you eat a piece of candy, they might stop your health coverage or your medications. Who knows where this can all be headed? So to me, that's the dangerous part of this information. I do no wrong. And you hear that, but I don't like it, and I don't do anything to where my habits can be followed. I don't use those little grocery store cards.
You say that, Melody, but we're not absolutely.
I don't buy. I'm not going to buy. People buy gold and silver online. We're even going to put up a little buying store on our website. But would I personally go buy gold and silver from the internet? No, I wouldn't bank online. I just think that's, and yet what puzzles me, Al, is so many times the folks who understand what's going on, they're the first ones in line to do everything.
Well,
and it's just,
why do you think that is?
I really don't know.
Well, sometimes it's just out of convenience.
Yes.
Sometimes it's to show off to somebody else. Look, I've got a fancier phone. I've got a fancier cell phone than yours. See, your cell phone is 6 months old. It's outdated. I've got a brand new one. Mine is top of the heap. That means there's a certain amount of competition along those lines, but there's also an opportunity to make money. One of the things about the spying that the government does with the association between Edward Snowden and Booz Allen, the company he worked for, private company, that was engaged in some of this spying on behalf of the government, you have to wonder, who is really spying here? Is it just the National Security Agency? Or is it significantly private corporations? Is the NSA gathering information to help the government, to protect the government? Is the NSA gathering information that will be shared with major corporations that they can use to make marketing decisions?
All of the above.
To give a competitive advantage over ordinary people that are just trying to, look, I want to open a little business. I'm going to do it because I think it could work at this location. But I don't have access to the kind of information that might be available through the National Security Agency. McDonald's might. I'm just using that as a bad example, but you follow my point. Who is all? Why are these private entities involved in national security? Shouldn't that be handled exclusively by the government? And when we start handling with private agencies, is it an accident? Is it just good business? Is it cost effective? Or are they the real recipients of much of the information? Now, I'm not saying most of it, but I'm saying much of it. So the whole thing is just nuts, bizarre, strange. And it goes to technology. It goes to the idea that it becomes almost irresistible. The opportunity to spy on people becomes almost irresistible because we can. We have the technology. Let's spy on everybody. You can't do things just because they're technologically possible. Somewhere along the line, somebody's got to sit back and say, look, is this a good idea? Is this morally appropriate? Is this consistent with the spirit of America? And I'm sure there are people like that around, but they are not predominant. The technocrats have taken over, and if they can do it, they intend to. It's like some of these scientists that create chimeras. They are crossbreeding humans and animals. We hear reports from around the world that this is allegedly taking place. The whole thing is stupid, it's just bizarre, it's wrong, and yet the technology is there, and for many people, it's simply irresistible. They have to take a shot at it, got to try it. And inevitably, I think we'll live to regret it, but you live in an amoral period, and in that loss of morals, the technology becomes irresistible. We've got about a minute, Melody.
We do have a caller, Jim from West Virginia, from Fort Worth.
Hi, Jim.
Hi there.
From Fort Worth. Hi.
Hi, Melody. Hi, Al. I have become what you would term an extreme prepper, and I'm off all the grids. You're the only thing as far as media in my life. I stop what I'm doing once a day. I have no radio, no TV, but during that time, that I stop. I only listen to you. Al, are you back in Dallas?
Yeah, I am. I had a problem up
you
in Oregon. I built a cabin up there, and it burned down the day I was going to move in. Lost everything.
My goodness. Well, I need to discuss some things with you. How would you suggest I approach that?
You can reach me by email. You can start with email at alfredaddisk@yahoo.com. You know how to spell my name. I recognize you, Jim. I haven't talked to you now in a year or more, but I recognize you.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I was headed your way when I I'll explain.
I'll tell you what, why don't you hold off on the explanation, because we're into our commercial break right now, Jim. We're going to break for a couple of minutes of commercials, and we'll talk to you when we get back. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Jim, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Well, okay. What else did you have to add?
Just for your information, the connection as far as your audio on the phone as we speak is only about 70%, so I can't depend on total communication, but I am off the grid, including the net, so I can't do the email. But
you know what happens if you get completely off the grid, don't you?
Yeah,
the government may put you on the griddle instead. You get off the grid, you get on the griddle.
Right, really, and then into the fire.
Yeah.
Would you like for me to attempt anything else or just forget it?
No, just drop me an email. Drop me an email. You got my email address. And drop me an email when you get a chance, and I'll watch for it here.
I told you I'm off the email. I don't have a net connection.
Oh, you're off the email.
Do you have a library close by?
Yes.
You can go into the library.
And I,
there.
But I think they've got that facial recognition. I attempted to play with their computers, and
well, wear a hood.
Dumb.
Wear a hood when you go into the library.
Do what?
Wear a hood when you go into the library. See how that works out. I'm not sure what to tell you, but right now I'm only communicating on Skype, and therefore, if you don't have Skype, you're not going to be able to reach me. If you don't have
okay,
a phone,
well,
I'm not going to reach you.
And we'll talk again in the next life or something.
All right. We'll talk to you, Jim. Bye-bye. Thank you. All right, Melody, what else have we got?
You know, there was a new poll out today from that shows that a majority of the Democrats believe that the federal government should bail out Detroit.
Yeah.
But an even larger majority of Americans do oppose such a move. 51% of Democrats support the federal assistance to Detroit, which, of course, everyone knows was America's largest city ever to seek a bankruptcy protection. What I found interesting, there was 73% of the Republicans opposed the bailout, while only 18% support the idea. Independents are nearly the same mind as Republicans on the issue. About 68% oppose the federal assistance for Detroit, and 20% support it. But when we talked earlier in the day, what I found interesting on this poll is that they turned it into a racial situation, a racial issue. Because then it continues to go on to talk about how this poll shows a significant racial divide on these issues. And, of course, we know what that is, how the whites oppose the federal bailout. And it's just another, it's just crazy how they can turn something. I mean, it should all be
it's
about
no. It's not just how they can turn something. It's how they must turn something. And when I say they, I'm not just talking about blacks, for example, or the city of Detroit. I'm talking about all special interests. You know, we live in a society where the Constitution says that the government was here to provide for the general welfare of the people. But government finds it far more convenient and perhaps lucrative to say, well, we've got welfare for the seniors and welfare for the women and welfare for the children and welfare for the blacks and welfare for the Hispanics and welfare for major corporations and corporations that are too big to fail. And we have all of these special interests. And in order to get, if you want to get any grease, you have to squeak as a special interest, say, I'm being discriminated against, baby. Give me some money. Isn't about right or wrong. You've got to illustrate, you've got to say that this is my special interest. Well, the blacks have been doing that with considerable success for most of my lifetime, you know, 40, 50 years. But the time they're running into a situation where, insofar as we have a black man in the White House, it's pretty hard to make that discrimination argument work anymore. All right? Martin Luther King, in his I Have a Dream speech, he said in part, he said, I have a dream that one day my two little daughters will be judged by the content of their character rather than the color of their skin. And in my opinion, we've reached that point. We've reached a point where people are being judged by the content of their character, not always, not exclusively, not 100%, but predominantly. And I suspect that there are a significant percentage of blacks, certainly people like Jesse Jackson. He didn't want to be judged by the content of his skin. Al Sharpton doesn't want to be judged by the content of his character. Al Sharpton doesn't want to be judged by the content of his character. Their special interest depends on being judged by the color of their skin. And they don't want to give that advantage up. They want to be able to play that race card, and people aren't buying it to the same extent they have in the past. So we have Democrats who say, yay, let's support the blacks, because that's one of the special interests that Democrats support. It's not about right or wrong. It's about supporting those special interests, maintaining the loyalty of those special interests, where they keep coming back to the Democrat Party and say, we're home, give us something to eat. And the Democrats say, we'll get something for you because you're black. The problem we're seeing in Detroit is more than just a matter of blacks want somebody to bail them out. It's really an illustration of the whole special interest mindset. No one in Washington, to my knowledge, is routinely, generally, predominantly doing what's best for the general welfare of the American people. What virtually every politician up there is doing is serving one or more special interests. And all of these special interests are acting against the best interests of the general welfare of the American people. And the result is we are all being impoverished by this special interest legislation. Something should be done about it. It needs to be recognized. People need to sit back and say, wait a second. What's good for the American people? All of them. What's good for all of them? Not just special interests, not just men, women, children, blacks, whites, whatever. What's good for all of us? Who's doing that, Melody? Do you know of anyone who's doing that?
No, I don't.
Neither do I. And so.
But, yeah, it's. There was another poll taken on the USA Today poll where it does show that Obama, he is suffering his lowest approval number in nearly 2 years. It dropped to 41%, down from 50.
That's no surprise, though.
No, it isn't. It should be dropping, you know, each month he's here, he'll drop a little
more. It's amazing it doesn't happen the first term, but once you get reelected, I think he's been a lame duck since about 6 months from, I don't know, really just a few months after the... After he went back into office in January of this year, when he's already a lame duck. He's going to now occupy the White House. I doubt that he's going to be particularly effective, and his loss of popularity is consistent with a loss of effectiveness. So he'll be unpopular because he's not effective, or he'll be ineffective because he's no longer popular, but the two will work kind of hand in hand. And so we have a lame duck already in Washington.
Let's hope he stays that way.
Thank goodness.
Let's hope it stays that way.
Yeah, we have a certain amount of gridlock in Congress, a lame duck in the White House. Times are good.
And our debt's not growing.
I understand. Well, that's
it's on hold.
I understand. The debt clock has been.
They needs a new battery, maybe. Where's that Energizer bunny, you know?
I don't know, but, you know, it's like, what are they thinking? If we don't face the issue, then we don't have the issue. That's all. We'll just turn off the clock. I don't want to go to work today, so I'm going to just unplug the clock. Then I don't have to go to work. See how simple that is, Melody? Perfect. I'm still going to get paid. I'm not going to get fired or anything. I just unplug the clock so I don't have to go to work. That's essentially the logic behind unplugging the debt clock. We just won't calculate what the debt is, and therefore we don't have any more debt. Very simple.
You had some numbers there on the total amount of gold eagles and silver eagles that was produced by the U.S. Mint for July. And it was a very active month for silver eagles for July. 4.4 million of them were sold, and that was the second high of the year. The first month was January. They was almost 7.5 million ounces of silver, and followed up by July, followed up by April. So the rest of the months were all at 3.2, 3.3, and 3.5. So interesting to see the buying is still very strong in silver, yep, along with even the gold. And that bumped up the last week of July, because it was just kind of sluggishly staying around about the 40,000, 40, you know, around that level. And the number of 1 ounce gold eagle coins sold were 50,000, a little over 50,000 ounces were sold. However, that was the sluggish for the gold. That was the sluggish month of the year. We had the biggest in April. We had over 209,000 ounces of gold sold in April. Now, these are just the 1 ounce gold eagle coins. So,
you know, what's interesting to me is, where does the gold and the silver come from that's being manufactured into gold eagles and silver eagles?
The the U.S. Mint contracts manufacturers to provide the planchets that they strike.
Mm-hmm.
Those manufacturers are supposed to buy their gold and silver from U.S. mining companies.
Okay, so they're buying current gold. Well, this isn't any gold that's coming out of the National Treasury, for example. They're buying new gold to sell.
Yes.
How do you think the government, the mint, for example, how do you think the mint feels about buying new gold at these low prices? I know they're not losing money if they're just buying the gold at the current physical price and turning it into coins and selling it to the people. All right, fine. They're not actually losing money on the deal. But do you suppose anyone at the mint is a little bit angry, a little bit perturbed, and say, we're giving the gold away? It's only $1,300 an ounce, for God's sake, making all these coins available.
No.
You don't think it bothers them?
No, this is the only department in the government that makes money. So, I mean, unless it's somehow disturbs their budget to what they have to produce and so forth, I can't imagine. I'm sure they're just there producing what needs to be done. I'm sure they have bonuses and so forth. But no, I don't think that's the case.
Just following orders.
Just get this stuff out.
Showing up for work on a regular basis. They're not unplugging the alarm clock so they don't have to go to work, huh?
But the demand, if you look at the overall demand for gold eagles for the year, it's very strong. I mean, so we could have a very good year. And I think we're going to see a lot stronger prices coming up very soon. And I think these are truly buying opportunities at these levels. Even if it fluctuates a little bit from at these levels today, it's still a great deal. No, I do not believe gold is going to break 1,000. Break below 1,000. I don't believe it's going to break below 1,100, and I don't believe it's going to break below 1,200. I'm encouraged to see it settle up at 1,300 today with the numbers that came out and where it was this morning. But so it's a great buying opportunity, folks. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And we got some great prices on silver, too. Shipping for Silver Eagles, that's pretty much they're flowing pretty good right now. There's really no delays. We're waiting for our last batch of Silver Eagles to get in so we can get caught up on our Silver Eagles. But all money's received prior to last week. Everybody's been shipped, so... it's just funds that we received last week. We're up to date. So a lot of shipping. We don't wait around to ship your product, folks. You know, especially if you've done business with us before, your funds come in and we get you shipped. So
okay, we've got one of the things that anyone, you know, you just think in terms of supply and demand. You know a little bit about economics. You know a little bit about supply and demand. We have reports they're selling more gold and silver coins per month than almost ever before, and yet the price is down. Does that make sense? With that increased demand, record-breaking demand, prices should be going up. It's simply more evidence that prices have been suppressed, and that's evidence that now is a good time to buy, because sooner or later the suppressed prices will rebound to what is a true free market price, and there's a profit potential built into the coins right now by virtue of previous government price suppression. We're out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening. We will be back next Monday. Melody and I here on Financial Survival. In the meantime, with the good Lord, bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.